Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello. Thank you for going to the Les Schwab Twires.
Twires?
I don't know. Hello. We appreciate you going to the Les Schwab.
Why can't you say tires?
Vive Clicquot. It's the same
just
thing.
Just say tires.
Where do we pick up from? Hi, everyone. You're listening to the Sinner and the Saint podcast. I'm Luke Anderson.
I'm Will Darkins, and this is sponsored by Les Schwab Tires. Is that right?
I think so.
Okay.
Yep. Enjoy.
Doing the right thing since 1952.
Spectacle Drifter, Will Duckins, on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, kids, happy Saturday. Who's fired up for some hockey today, huh, Will?
Oh, yeah. I'm ready for that puck to drop.
You know what? I was listening to a lot of people this week that are so upset that there's breaks, two-day breaks between the NBA Finals games. Go outside.
Yeah, like, Saturday's a perfect day.
Yeah, like, what are you mad about? Like, you don't need to have something every single day. I mean, think of football season. How excited we get for football season because you have that anticipation building up and can't wait till Thursday night where the game's going to be terrible, but that's a precursor to Sunday where everything's going to be awesome. And then you go into Monday when the games are lame again because the NFL doesn't like ESPN and they're going to put a bad product out. But you get that build up. You don't get a game every single day. And what do we complain about with football? The problem is they're diluting their product because they're playing too many games on too many days. College football is playing MAC games on Wednesdays. You get Friday night games. They need to keep it concentrated. We get to the NBA Finals, and what do? Oh, how are there 2 days between games? I'm so bad about it. And then what's the other problem in sports? Baseball, too many games. Play too many games. Every day there's a game. What do you want, people? What do you want?
I got Teen Mom 2 going on here in the studio.
What now?
Teen Mom 2.
Is that like a sequel to the series of...
Yeah. Well, there was so much Teen Mom.
Or is it teen moms that are already having their second kid while they're still a teenager?
No. See, the original Teen Mom, they had so much Teen Mom that they said, we now need to bring more Teen Moms on. And so... they made Teen Mom 2, which I enjoy Teen Mom 2 a lot better than Teen Mom. By the way, Teen Mom
OG. So I'm a little
OG.
Confused about this. Is it like a duplex situation where you have teen moms on both sides of the duplex?
No, they don't interact with each other.
How does the two factor in?
The two factors in as basically there was Teen Mom, the original, which is now called OG.
Wait, what now?
So there was the original Teen Mom.
So there's... Okay. I guess I've never actually seen the show.
You've never seen Teen Mom?
No. So I don't know really. Is it like Teen Wolf?
No.
And Teen Wolf 2?
It's women who got knocked up early and are now living their lives.
Okay. And so are they still teenagers?
No, not at this point. They're in their 20s.
Okay. All right. Well, so that's what you're watching.
That's what I got on here in the studio.
Doesn't really help with the whole go outside motivational speech that I just gave.
Why do you need to go outside when you got teen moms trying to live their lives in here?
That's a fair point. It's a fair point.
You know, my fiance got me on this show because we have a trade-off thing. See, I get to watch
sports. Is your fiance a teenager?
She's not.
Okay, good.
But she loves Teen Mom. Whew. It's a trade-off thing.
Whew.
See, I get to watch sports one night, and then she goes, the next night, I get to watch reality TV. And I go, okay, fine, I'll deal with that. Now I'm starting to like it.
Oh, so you watch it with her?
Yeah, now I kind of like it. I kind of get excited to watch Teen Mom sometimes.
My wife watches The Bachelor and The Bachelorette.
Do you get involved in that?
No, I tried to because one of our local sports personalities, Bree, from Fox, what is it, NBC Sports Northwest?
Yeah.
What do they call that thing?
Yes.
She was on there, and I'm like, oh, yeah, one of the gals locally is on there. Let's check it out. I watched the first episode. I don't think she appeared once in there.
Yeah.
And then it was cut immediately. That's about as far into reality television. I did watch a little. I will correct. I did watch a little when Aaron Rodgers' brother was on there.
Yeah, you got to be pretty cray to get some attention on there.
Well, I was just watching that because it was like the whole.
All right.
That the yeah.
He abandoned his family.
Yeah, it's bizarre. Well, we were talking about it at the time because I think the New York Times put out a piece about how Aaron Rodgers hates his family.
Yeah,
and stuff,
he hates his family, and he had an existential crisis after the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Well, he didn't know what else to do with his life.
Oh, man, I won a Super Bowl. I have now hundreds of millions of dollars.
I've done everything I ever wanted to do. What do I do now?
I'm dating this hot piece who's a comedian.
Comedian. Actress.
Now I'm dating Danica Patrick.
Yeah, he's got a rough life. Poor guy. Well, and I mean, I don't know if you saw the footage of it, but Clay Matthews drove his drone right into the window of his truck.
Yeah.
Never even had a scratch on it.
No.
Him and his dog just went out and did stuff.
And I love those State Farm commercials that they had to add a dog to Aaron Rodgers because they go, he's so damn unappealing at this point. Nobody's responding to these, so we got to throw a dog in the equation.
Is he unappealing?
Yes,
I don't
he's
know.
Horribly unappealing.
55305. Is Aaron Rodgers unappealing?
Yes, easily.
I thought you were in love with him.
Well, I'm in love with his play, but when it comes to him being in
as
movies,
as soon as he takes the helmet off,
yeah, when he opens his mouth, I just fall asleep.
I did not know that.
He's unappealing.
Okay, I didn't.
And he's not that hot.
55305. Aaron Rodgers not that hot? Yes or no?
55305. Aaron Rodgers smoking wet hot. I want to hear it.
Your opinion. Oh, I interrupted you. I'm sorry. What was that?
I said smoking wet hot. Is he? #?
I want to hear from you, Portland. Hit us up on Twitter. Let us know what you think. Is he a hot piece or what?
Caller number 5 gets a picture of him with his shirt off.
Dripping wet Aaron Rodgers, hot or not? Ow! 55305.
All right, let's now play some Led Zeppelin.
This might be the worst show we ever do. It might be the best show we ever do. But from the start, I have no idea which direction it's going. We got Teen Mom. We got Aaron Rodgers. But
we can get into some Teen Mom talk.
We'll get into that next. But this is the part in the show where we fulfill our promise to all those listeners that come exclusively to listen to The Sinner and the Saint for all of their week's sporting news. And we catch you up on everything that you may have missed in a segment we call In Case You Missed It.
Ah. Oh. Here's Lou.
All right, everybody. In case you missed it, the Stanley Cup Finals are underway, and the Las Vegas Golden Knights won Game 1, prompting one idiot I know to ask me the question, if Portland gets a baseball team, do they have a chance at shot at winning the World Series in year one? That idiot, Will Darkins.
Oh, I don't.
In game 2, in case you missed it, the Washington Capitals narrowly held on to a victory when Braden Holtby had a late third period save that may have been one of the greatest of all time.
Great name.
Following the game, the Knights' Alex Tuch was actually criticized for not lifting the puck higher on the shot. For those that you don't know, this is like the hockey equivalent of victim shaming. Oh, he was asking for it. Did you see what he was wearing? Hey-o.
I didn't get that one.
Did you see the save? Do you know what
no,
I'm talking about?
I don't watch hockey. I don't get involved in that.
Braden Holtby made like one of the most ridiculous saves. He's completely out of position. He throws himself across the net, reaches out with just a stick and blocks it. And then they come out and go, well, the shot wasn't good enough. Dude, that net was empty. And the guy just throws his stick over there and somebody just goes, well, it's his fault. He should have had a better shot. No. Give credit to the goalie. In case you missed it this week, the NBA had game 7s in both conference championship series. But if you did miss it, don't be upset because what happened was exactly what we thought would happen. You saved 5 hours of your lives
get
for not watching
out,
those.
Get out!
This was the first time since 1979 that both conference championships went to a game seven. Like the Cavs and Warriors, the 1979 finals ended up being a rematch between the Washington Bullets and the Seattle Supersonics. Maybe that's the way the NBA finals find a new matchup next year. They changed the Warriors' name to the Golden State Sorcerers, and they moved the Cavs to Des Moines and call them the Tornadoes. Huh? Really?
I'm not having that one.
Why not? It's a play on the Supersonics, and the Bullets no longer exist. Listen, we're going to have to watch the Cavs-Warriors for the next decade if LeBron doesn't leave, because he's probably going to get a free agent that'll come and play for nothing. We've 4 years in a row.
You know who always
the asked, only way we get a different matchup is you change their names. That's clever.
You know
that plays on 1979 very well.
You know who
55305? Did you love that joke?
You know who's always asking for a punch in the face is anybody who wears a
Sonics hat,
Sonics jersey, a Sonics Kevin Durant jersey to a Blazer game.
Yeah,
I just get out.
If you
get
wear a Gary Payton out. Or Sean Kemp, you're okay. Like if you're wearing a Detlef Schrempf.
If you're wearing a Detlef Schrempf jersey, I want to talk to you and find out where you got it.
But if you're
where
wearing,
did you get that?
But if you're wearing the Kevin Durant jersey.
If you're wearing the Kevin Durant jersey, just get the hell out. You might as well just wear an OKC Kevin Durant jersey to the game. Like, I don't, like, your fandom for the Sonics doesn't belong here. There's no point to it.
I did see a kid wearing a Kevin Durant OKC jersey the other day on the street, and I thought just for a second about swerving the car over and just taking him out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Burn the damn jersey.
Yeah. Any Kevin Durant jersey. Let's be honest.
Okay, how about this? I'll get down on my knees. Is this any better?
One more interesting fact about the 1979 NBA Finals. That was the last time LeBron James didn't play in a finals. Don't know if you knew that. This week, Danica Patrick completed her final race of her career at Sunday's Indianapolis 500. And in case you missed the finish, so did she.
Oh!
Hey. Hey-o!
Wow.
She didn't even make it halfway through the race. That's disappointing for her.
That's pretty awesome. The end of her career, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And,
what a career.
And
what are your favorite moments?
Well, they're right here, buddy. Even though Danica Patrick never won the Indianapolis 500, her third place finish in 2009 is the best finishing position for a woman in the history of the race. She also finished her IndyCar career as the third hottest racer ever behind Mario Andretti and Helio Castroneves.
No way in hell you'd know any of that without Google.
Mario None Andretti, come on. You know Mario never. Andretti as a name.
I mean, I know the name. I couldn't put a name to a face, though.
And Helio Castroneves, he raced, I think it was David Letterman's race team, so he always showed up on Letterman. He's a dreamboat.
Helio what?
Castroneves.
God.
Yeah.
What was the first? Mario Andretti?
Yes, Mario Andretti.
Are there just a bunch of Italian guys?
There are. Well, there's a bunch of Andrettis. There's a whole slew of Andrettis.
Is
Mario.
Like a family thing?
Yeah.
The Andrettis?
Yes. How do you not know about the Andretti's?
I don't pay attention to
It's racing. Also worth noting that Danica Patrick finished second as the hottest racer in the history of NASCAR behind Dick Trickle.
Great name. Incredible name.
Greatest short track racer of all time.
Unfortunate name if you're a woman and you just slept with Dick, or, well, I guess it's his name, Dick Trickle.
Yeah.
And then you think, like, oh, boy, this can't be good. That name just kind of incites, like, I might have something.
This is, again, did you Dick Trickle, greatest short track racer of all time.
Yeah, something's trickling out of there.
Short track. It's true. True fact. Short track. The winner of the race was Australian Will Power. Don't know if you know that, the Indianapolis 500. He barely edged out IndyCar veteran Steel Resolve and the hottest driver on the circuit, Self Restraint.
Yeah, talking a lot about hot drivers today. There's a lot of hot, wet driver talk.
I don't think I said they were hot. I said veteran, and I did say the hottest driver. Yeah, I guess I did.
You said my name. You said Will something. So
it's
I
Will Power.
Attention.
Will Power. And then
I perked up
Steel
a little
Resolve.
Bit.
Self-restraint.
Ah.
Hey-o. In case you missed it this week, Isaiah Thomas declared LeBron James is much better, and I quote, much better player than Michael Jordan.
Ah.
I don't know which Isaiah Thomas said it because I didn't get past the headline, but at least the debate is finally over.
I also saw Patrick Beverley tweeting after game one of the finals. He said something like, I forget who he was insulting. He might have been insulting like J.R. Smith. Or no, it was Tristan Thompson. He was talking smack. And I go, dude, you are at home right now on your couch. Like, how can you talk any S about any of those players? You are the most insufferable guy right after Draymond Green. Patrick Beverly on any team.
Yeah, but Ace Draymond Green is there to talk trash directly to people.
If we got Patrick Beverly and he somehow helped propel us to the second round of the playoffs, it would bother me.
If your backcourt was Patrick Beverly and Raymond Felton, how would you feel?
Oh, my God.
Fantastic.
I would watch every game because I would want to see what happened.
Be like thunder and lightning.
They'd get into fights.
With each other?
Yeah. I mean, how many points would they score together?
Yeah.
What's the over-under on that? Like 20? And I'm saying over like a month. They're not scoring.
In a seven-game series.
Yeah, they're not scoring.
Yeah. In case you missed it this week, the 76ers general manager, Brian Colangelo, was discovered to have as many as 5 burner accounts on Twitter.
Oh.
Some of the tweets that people took issue with were Joel Embiid's on-court behavior, Nerlens Noel's problems in the locker room, Jahlil Okafor and Markelle Fultz injury issues. The Twitter accounts went to the defense of Colangelo's job performance and then made disparaging comments about Sam Hinkie, his predecessor.
Oh.
And one of the accounts just took pictures of the 76ers players' heads and photoshopped them onto Brigitte Nielsen's body. That one seemed weird and unnecessary. I don't know why they did that. This is not the first burner account saga the NBA has seen. Of course, everybody remembers Kevin Durant's famous when he was caught posting to the wrong accounts and mixed up his burner accounts. And then, of course, the other Twitter drama. Had Twitter existed in the 1990s, we all know that Bryant Big Country Reeves would have had several burner accounts as well.
All right. Last one. How many more do you have?
2, 3?
Jesus.
2, 3?
Pick the best one out of the three.
They all lead into the next one.
This has been 20 minutes.
I know, but that's because you keep interrupting.
How can I not?
I don't know. That's the whole point of this.
All right.
In case you missed it, the Cleveland Cavaliers missed a golden opportunity to win game one of the NBA Finals. George Hill missed a last second free throw. And when J.R. Smith got the rebound with 4.7 seconds left, it seemed like he forgot what the score was. But in J.R. Smith's defense, he may have just forgotten how much time was left, or forgotten which team he was on, or forgotten where he was, or forgotten the object of the game altogether. You didn't like that one.
It was okay.
Okay. The Cavs, despite losing, LeBron James did have 51 points in the loss, proving LeBron James may be the best runner-up in the history of the NBA. And sorry, Jim Kelly, maybe in all of sports.
Wow.
And that's where we start. LeBron James and the NBA Finals. That is next. Sinner and Saint, 1080 The Fan. I've left my problems up on the shelf. The work I don't know if that segment's getting better or worse. Like Johnny Kemp said,
I just got paid. Can't be both. Ready to
mingle. I guess it could be.
No, it really can't. It's got to be better or worse, right?
I don't think so.
Couldn't be stagnant. Call up the
homies and hope they might. So they're going in both directions simultaneously, like for some people. Because, I mean, it's a matter of opinion, right? Some people could hate
it. Omnipresent segment.
It's expanding. It's ever expanding like the universe.
Everywhere at every moment.
It's expanding into all corners of the universe at all times.
Let's favorite part of game one of the NBA Finals?
Well,
because I know what your favorite part is, and I want you to talk about it because it's now become my favorite part.
So, okay. So the game itself, I was rooting for the Cavs as furiously as I possibly could. I absolutely hate the Warriors.
Me too.
I detest them. And more importantly, I hate Kevin Durant. And I liked the team before he was there. I'm even okay with Draymond Green. I kind of like that he gets into it with people. Mm. Like a guy, listen, the guy was in the headlines all year because Charles Barkley wanted to punch him in the face. And during the game, somebody tried to punch him in the face. Like, it's perfect. He plays his role very well. Kevin Durant, you kind of don't know what you're going to get. He disappeared a little bit in that game, and them winning kind of took Kevin Durant off the hook a little bit.
Dude, if J.R. Smith would have just gotten the rebound and put it back up.
Especially because the rebound was over Kevin Durant.
It
and then put
that.
Up the shot to win it over Kevin. It would have been.
That would have been the storyline. Kevin Durant, you're 7 feet tall. Why aren't you grabbing that rebound?
So I was pretty upset when the Cavs lost. And I've never rooted for LeBron. He's not my favorite player or anything. I've never been like a big Cavs fan, but I was rooting against the Warriors so hard, I found myself upset that the Cavs lost. But had the Cavs won, they wouldn't have had the press conferences that they had.
Yes.
And the greatest moment, not just of this game or press conferences ever, but maybe all time in sports, is at the end of the game, they go back and they come out to the press conference. It's like 1 a.m. in the press room. LeBron James goes in there.
It's late.
And Mark Stein of ESPN is badgering him about what was going through J.R. Smith's head at the end of the game.
Which, Mark Stein, one of the more annoying journalists there are.
Oh, and this was peak annoying Mark Stein.
Yes.
Like, he could not have been doing a better job of just, LeBron, what do you think? What do you think was going through J.R. Smith's head? Do you think he knew what the score was? How would I know?
I don't know.
But just put yourself in his shoes. When you saw him going around at that moment, what did you think that he was doing? Yeah, there's no way that I know. Well, let me ask the same question a different way. What if I ask it again? And then LeBron stands up, and normally in a press conference room, you just see the backdrop, and you really have no idea how big the room is. And until I was in a press room, you always think that they're a lot bigger. They play in an arena, but they're these very small rooms. And the angle that the camera is at when you see it shows how small the room is and how big LeBron is when he stands up. So LeBron stands up, and you just see him tower over everybody else in the room. He's damn near to the ceiling. But because pregame he had to show up in his Richie Rich little short suit.
It's a stunning suit.
With shorts.
Yes.
So he stands up.
Half suit.
And he has to delicately adjust his shorts down, which is a very dainty move to begin with.
Well, everybody does it.
Yes.
I mean, your pants get up in your crotch and you got to adjust so you can walk normally.
Fine. Hulking dude storming out of a press conference. First thing he has to do is delicately adjust his shorts out of his crotch.
Yes.
Then he grabs his sunglasses, puts them on his head delicately, grabs his bejeweled earbuds, tosses them over his shoulder like it's jewelry.
Yeah.
Then he picks up his $17,000 shiny, glistening alligator skin purse.
Hell of a purse.
And just struts out like Beyonce out of the room and turns to Mark Stein and goes, "Be better tomorrow."
It's great. I love it. I loved everything about that.
And you and I watched it probably 4 or 5 consecutive times yesterday.
It's freaking hilarious, and nobody in any sport ever could pull that off and not be mocked. I'm not going to mock LeBron James for that.
Oh, I will.
No, roundly. He's freaking LeBron James.
Oh, my God.
He scored 51 points and drug a garbage team to the finals where really he should have won the first game. Stolen a home game away from one of the greater teams of a decade. And yes, dude, you can wear a half suit and carry around a 17 grand purse. I don't care.
Oh, there's, you do whatever there's you want. No way LeBron James looks back and goes, "Nah, I wore the right outfit for that." Like,
I dressed for success that day.
You know how much he wanted to be wearing like just denim on denim and just storm out of there in a Canadian tuxedo so he didn't have to adjust a single thing?
Dude can wear whatever he wants.
I get that. But in that moment when you're like, because the thing about that game was, I mean, you saw full emotion from LeBron. I mean, it was the bad foul calls. You had the J.R. Smith brain fart. You had the overtime where he blocks Steph Curry's shot and Steph Curry tries to be funny and chippy. It's like, you could have let me have that one. LeBron James is like, "Up yours, buddy." He didn't say that. He said, I think he said the F word.
Well, I think what
he said a word that starts with F that we can't say on the air. But you saw how pissed he was at the end of overtime. He almost got into that little scuffle with Klay Thompson, comes over and starts. You saw every emotion from him. Then he storms out of the presser. You know he wanted to be wearing something different.
No, because here's how I see this. The Warriors had no right whatsoever to talk any trash. None. None.
Well, they did when they were up 12 in overtime, and that's when they chose to, because they didn't say a word. They were so puckered at the end of that game.
Yes.
God, they should have had an opportunity to have that shot at the end of regulation. Or J.R. Smith, just do something. Just make that free throw, George Hill, and give it to the Warriors. How bad do you want to see the Warriors with 4.7 seconds left down by one?
the Warriors have assembled probably one of the greater teams of all time.
Sure.
That was, how many, what, 3 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Then you had Kevin Durant, who is a...
Well, I guess it would have been 4 years ago. With
4 years ago. Then you had Kevin Durant, who's a transcendent talent. And you basically don't try during games. This, to me, this series, no matter what happens this season, will taint Kevin Durant's legacy.
What about
it?
Yeah.
It will completely taint it because of the fact that you look at him and you just go, why aren't you dominating games? Why is it that you let J.R. Smith get a rebound from you? Why is it you couldn't hit any shots during game one? Yeah. Why is it that you seem to disappear in the finals if you're not up by 15 or so?
Yeah, he looks good as an MVP when you're routing people.
Yeah. Oh, it's probably really easy to play well when you get, like, what, 3 minutes rest on the bench. When LeBron James gets, what, 20 seconds rest? Yep. I think he got a little bit more rest this time because you remember there was that bout, might have been in the second quarter where they were letting George Hill run the offense and they were just going to Kevin Love every time on the block.
Yeah, well, he's a front runner. That's what he is. Front runners go, they're guys that in free agency go to the team that beat them in a seven-game Western Conference Finals when your team had a 3-1 lead. I mean, he took his ball and he's like, I'm going to be on your team now. Are you kidding me? Like, it continually shows itself, this guy's character. I can't stand it.
No, I can't either. And the insecurity level that he has where he has to create burner accounts.
Yep.
He has to defend himself constantly from people talk S to him, which is like, dude, come on. You're one of the greater basketball players in the world. Why don't you just friggin' let it be?
Yep.
I mean, you gotta expect that people are gonna come at you when you make a career decision like this, where it's clearly just something that you're doing as a chore.
Yep.
It's just like, oh, I gotta get that checked off. I gotta get an NBA Finals. This should, there we go. That should do it.
Yeah.
Hey, well, give me a break.
The other big thing about game one, though, was the officiating. And I've actually got the last 2 minute report.
It's bad.
Yeah. We'll do that next, right after the news. Before we get into the last 2 minute report, I need to make a correction. I said it was Mark Stein was the reporter. It was Mark Schwartz. You could say that I missed the mark. And my apologies to Mark Stein.
That was pretty serious because now we're slandering someone.
My apologies to Mark Stein. I don't think the vitriol was intended to go towards either of the marks. In that, it was supposed to go to LeBron, so I blame you for making me pile on with that.
This is going to put us in a bad light with the marks.
Listen,
we've been trying to get Mark Schwartz on the show for what?
No, Mark Stein we've been trying to get on the show.
Oh, I'm sorry. I keep getting the marks.
Jeez.
God damn,
we've never once called Mark Schwartz. We've been trying to get Mark Stein forever. We need to make sure we get that right moving forward.
It's pretty rude.
Unbelievable. You're the worst.
Hey, we do have polls. We should probably talk about those.
Yeah, do you want to do that before or after the 2 minute report?
Let's do that before.
Have you looked at the 2 minute report?
I've looked at it.
There's
it pretty much just tells me exactly what I knew.
Then you didn't look at it.
Oh, I looked at it.
Okay.
There was a lane violation.
That's kind of a big deal. Listen, the fact that we saw all of those missed calls and then the NBA comes out and goes, guys, we want to let you know that not only did we miss a lot of the calls that you all saw, the charge we kind of had right, and you're not even upset that we got the call right. It's that we reviewed it in the first place. So we'll just move on past that. But guess what? You know that critical play where the guy forgot the score and the guy should have made the free throw? Well, that player that you hate on the Warriors, Draymond Green, well, he had a lane violation on that, and the free throw should have been taken over, which would have erased everything that we've talked about for 2 days.
Which, by the way,
that's kind of a big deal.
Not really.
It's a missed call, but it's
everybody commits lane violations. It's like the least called thing in the NBA.
Again,
that might have been on a technical. In fact, I'm not even really sure why they call that. I mean, there are lane violations constantly.
It's like traveling. I understand that. But again, for it to be 2 days later and all the people that are still upset about the call that was reversed, the charging call, the two strips, the foul on LeBron right after one of the strips that are mad and going, the reason the Cavs lost this again, this is the NBA presenting the information to you going, oh, by the way. Here's another thing. It adds fuel to the fire. That's, I guess, the bigger point of the whole thing. But why don't you set up and tell people what our polls are on Twitter at CenterSaint1080 or at 1080 the fan. What do you got for us?
Okay, we got two polls today. The first one is, which of these music videos takes the cake for most ridiculous music video? We got 8% for LL Cool J's Doing It, which is him pretty much just going to peep shows and eating a peach and just getting with chicks for like 4 minutes straight.
That is every LL Cool J video just concentrated.
It's absurd.
Yeah.
And a dead tie at 20%, we have Michael Jackson's Remember the Time.
That's the one with Magic Johnson and Eddie Murphy as Egyptian pharaohs or whatever.
And the grandiose ending of Michael Jackson dissipating into sand.
Yeah. That's a crazy one.
The other one tied for that is Dancing on the Ceiling with Lionel Richie, which blew my mind.
You had never seen this video.
I had never seen it until this morning, and then I saw the camera trick they did, and I said, how the hell is that guy walking on the ceiling? That blew my mind.
He's got a feeling. He's got a feeling.
Yeah. And then Dancing in the Street with David Bowie and Mick Jagger, that's got a huge lead at 52%, which it is. It's one of the most absurd videos I've ever watched in my life because it's just basically them fueling sexual tension for 5 minutes. Just really like you just, by the end of it, I'm just like, just kiss. Would you guys just kiss?
But it's also weird 80s sexual tension.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's androgynous and like, come on, just, you know, you guys are getting pretty close to kissing. Could you just do it at the end and satisfy everybody? Other poll we have up, more sportsy.
Oh, it's more sportsy than that?
If LeBron James averages 45 points during the NBA Finals, should he win the finals MVP, regardless of the outcome? 11% say no. 89% say yes.
Well, it's funny. I mean, I did the stupid joke at the beginning about LeBron being the best runner-up in NBA history. But you have to remember, Jerry West was 1-9 in NBA finals. He's the logo of the league. And he's one of the guys that had, you know, when they mentioned the six guys or whatever that had 50-point finals games, Jerry West is one of them, and he won an MVP in defeat in the NBA Finals. So it wouldn't be unprecedented.
Well, and they were talking about how also after LeBron lost his first one, I think in 2010, 2011 to the Mavericks, that he had called Jerry West and talked to him, and he had said, you know, he was kind of feeling down in the dumps about himself, and West had said, man, you think you feel bad? I'm friggin' 1-9.
Yeah.
Like, don't talk to me about that. You have the whole rest of your career to make this happen. So, I mean, it's to me, it keeps getting into this whole conversation of who's better, Michael Jordan or LeBron James. And I think the best way to kind of just quell it and say it's over, let's not talk about it anymore, is LeBron James is the greatest player of his generation.
For sure.
That's all you have to do. You don't have to compare the two because Michael Jordan played at a completely different time. He played in a completely, well, at least his greatness was compressed into a decade. He played in the 80s, but he didn't really become great until he hit the 90s.
But he was a star, too. I mean, that's the thing. Yeah. He came into the league and, you know, Be Like Mike and, and the, you know, first signature shoe. And there's so much about Michael Jordan.
But Jesus, beyond, LeBron James spans the 2000s, and he'll expand in the 2010s, too. The NBA will be defined by LeBron James in the 2000s and the 2010s. It'll be 20 years. LeBron James owning a league.
Well, that's part of it too, though. Is just, you know, we try to do all of these breakdowns of legacy in the middle of his career. I mean, because if you're watching this year at 33 years old, led the league in minutes, drug a hapless Cavs team to the NBA Finals, and is doing things that we've never seen him do. I mean, he's never had 50 points in a finals game. He's been to 8 straight. He has had plenty of opportunity to do it, but he has more on his shoulders, and he's carrying that weight as effortlessly as he ever has.
Also carrying a purse.
That's a very good point. But who knows what you're going to see. If he plays for another 5 years, that's a 20 years career. I kind of get the sense. I mean, he puts millions of dollars into his body every year to make sure that he can play. Do you think his career is over after another 5 years? Because I don't.
I don't think over, but it's minimized. Well, that's kind of the whole talk.
But again, if he pairs up with somebody, I mean, because the guy that might be the best comparison to him is when you start speaking of longevity is Kareem. And Kareem won championships late because he was playing with guys like Magic Johnson and Michael Thompson and James Worthy. And, I mean, he, part of the Showtime Lakers, if you have LeBron where he has a second act as a, you know, role player, I mean, it's hard to imagine, but imagine having LeBron as your second, third, or fourth option on a great team, and there's no reason to think that he couldn't manipulate his way to being on a team that looks similar to what you see with the Warriors right now.
Well, I think the difference between him and Kareem is that Kareem really never had to change roles. Kareem was always the scorer, and Kareem had the advantage of one of the most unbeatable shots of all time, the skyhook.
Yeah, but I guess my point is the longevity is people forget that he played for 21 years.
But if LeBron James were to go into this different role, right, like what you're saying, like a slasher or not a ball dominant player,
the way he shot this year, he could go as a spot up shooter.
That's a big change for him. I mean, in Miami, he kind of played that. He was a lot more in the post, and he was letting Dwayne Wade kind of dictate the offense a little bit more. But one of the suggestions has been recently this week, hey, what if he goes to the Rockets? So then you have CP3, Harden, and LeBron James. I mean, you're going to expect on that team that LeBron James is going to handle the ball most of the time. To me, it seems weird to have LeBron James on a team where he's not going to want to handle the ball in the last 2 minutes of
the game. But what if he goes into a Jason Kidd role where he's just a passer, just a distributor, just a point guard?
Like Ben Simmons kind
of? Yeah, whatever. But again, that's a crazy thing about LeBron James' career, I guess. And you've kind of made my point for me is, who knows what's next for this guy? Because if you'd have told me at the beginning of the year that he'd have a season like this where he'd play all 82 games, lead the league in minutes, switch teams halfway through the year, one-third of the roster flips over, they'll limp into the playoffs, barely hanging on to a fourth seed, and then have to play 2 7-game series to eke their way in. I mean, this year has been as remarkable as any we've seen for LeBron James because of what he's had to work with.
If the Cavs lose in the finals, are we going to remember this year at all?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, I think you do. I
don't know, man. Like, I think the most memorable LeBron James year to me is 2012. Because he won MVP and he had the most insane statistical year of anybody. His efficiency was through the effing roof. The guy was almost averaging a double-double with, I think, like 53% field goal shooting. It was an insane year, and then he topped it off with finals MVP and winning the finals for the first time.
Yeah, but what happens this offseason? That's the other thing about LeBron. What happens this offseason?
I don't know.
Does he stay? Does he go? If he leaves, this will be remembered as the last season in Cleveland and the reason he left. And he had to deal with J.R. Smith being a moron at the end of the season, a roster turnover, all the things that I've just gone through. That's a reason he left Cleveland. If he stays, they need to rebuild this team over. So this is...
I don't know what you can do.
They don't have any money to do anything.
There's nothing. So. You can't do anything. You got to keep the same cast or go find some other veterans who are willing to take some pay cuts and just say, okay, I want to play
again,
with LeBron.
So I think it becomes memorable based on what happens next. So who knows? I mean, it's as entertaining a game one as I've ever seen. I hope that you get a third of what you got in game one the rest of the series.
Dude, if the Cavs don't win game two, I don't know if I can watch the rest. Because at that point, I'll just go, it's going to be a sweep.
You know, it wasn't a sellout. Isn't that crazy?
Really?
Yeah.
At Oracle?
Yeah. We didn't even sell out at Oracle. Yeah. Well, we may get back into the NBA Finals in hour two, but we need to get to Good versus Evil. That is next. You're listening to The Sinner and the Saint on 1080 The Fan.
Have you been too busy to keep up on sports this week?
What has happened today? What has happened? What has happened to the national interest?
No time to form your own opinions?
I stand before you here today in the midst of gnarly times.
Well, no worries, brah. Let The Sinner and the Saint shred the gnar while you just sit back and ride the wave. It's time for Good versus Evil, brought to you by the Titan of Hawaiian Restaurants, 808 on 1080 The Fan.
Yeah, you just had a feel for it. It was going to be a grind-out game. Shots weren't falling. We dug ourselves a hole early, but, you know, those games, you just got to win them.
That was Cliff Paul's a-hole twin brother, Chris Paul. He was rightfully sulking after the Rockets' Game 7 loss in the Western Conference Finals against the Warriors Monday. Paul, of course, did not play because of a bum hamstring, and 27 straight missed shots later, they lost.
Missed three-pointers.
Thanks. Thanks for indicating that.
Well, they weren't all.
I know.
Yeah. Okay.
Now an awesome rumor is involving Paul and LeBron James. This has come to light. The New York Times is reporting the all-star point guard is actively recruiting the King to the Rockets next season. Let's say this could financially work, meaning Ryan Anderson doesn't exist. Do you see Paul, Harden, and James meshing?
talk about LeBron James having to have the ball in his hands, and then you have two other guys that have to have the ball in their hands.
In an isolation offense, by the way.
Yeah. I don't really see it working. Plus, if you're LeBron James, why on earth would you want to go to the Western Conference? I mean, that just seems like an absolute bore. I mean,
the Rockets this year were close enough to beat. I mean, they really should have beaten the Warriors if Chris Paul didn't get hurt.
I would agree with that, too. But I don't know if he wants to take that same kind of path. I'm very curious what he's going to do. I wonder if LeBron James has even decided what he's going to do next. I mean, the fact that he has to be actively recruited is one thing. I don't think he's made a decision. I don't think he expected to be in the finals necessarily, and I don't think he's made a choice on what he wants to do. But it'll have a big effect on his legacy and what happens next in the NBA. I mean, everybody's going to wait until that happens before they do anything.
Yeah, it's an honor. You know, I remember traveling out here the first time I got a shot at somewhat of a free agency, and I was restricted because of what was going on with the CBA, and it felt good then and it feels good now.
That was a man that somehow is still playing wide receiver in the NFL, Brandon Marshall. The 34-year-old signed a one-year, $2 million contract with Seattle this week. Marshall is coming off a pair of surgeries. This comes as the Seahawks begin their quote-unquote rebuild, adding a veteran tall wideout that may help kind of balance out Doug Baldwin. Marshall says, quote, "I didn't have a lot of options." Do you think he can make a real impact on this team this season? Like, let me rephrase.
Okay.
Do you think Brandon Marshall is the difference between two more wins and two more losses?
Ooh, no, probably not directly. But it's when you said it's a $2 million contract, it's $1 million with a potential to get up to two in incentives. If they cut him, they're only out the door like $90,000. But it's a
Which, if you're Brandon Marshall, that'd be pretty sweet if you went to camp and you just got cut like three weeks later and you got $90,000.
Well, and for the Seahawks, I think it's a $1.1 million cap hit. So it's not a big commitment on the Seahawks' part. You bring him in, and if he can be a strong veteran presence in the receiver room and help out, there's a lot of young guys on there that haven't had much playing time in the NFL, so this is a guy that has a lot of experience. Plus, it gives you another red zone target with Jimmy Graham gone. I think he can have a big effect on this team in a couple different places. One, veteran leadership, and two, the red zone. So, yeah, I think maybe not directly, but indirectly, yeah, two wins.
Sure.
If he plays well. If not, you cut him and it doesn't cost you anything.
Follow-up question, would you have taken Dez Bryant instead?
No, I think I'd go with Brandon Marshall.
Oh, I'm definitely having fun. I mean, definitely. I mean, no, I didn't think the tweet would go as viral as it did. I mean, that was just to know that the fan base is like this. And I just really can't imagine how it's going to be once the Browns start winning a lot of games. Yeah.
That was a rare soundbite of an NFL player saying something stupid.
Wait, what now?
Soaking with irony. Yeah. Otherwise known as Brown safety Demaryius Randall, he made Twitter history this week with the most retweets of any NFL player of all time. The tweet read, quote, "If the Cleveland Cavaliers win the 2018 NBA Finals, I'll buy everyone who retweets this jersey, or who retweets this, a jersey."
Yeah.
I think it was around 600,000 at some
point. No, it got up over a million.
Oh, it's over a million.
Yeah, that's when I thought it was over a million.
The cheapest jersey on NFL.com right now is $99. Do you think he'll actually pay this off?
No, he already said he wouldn't. I saw it at $1.1 million, and he said he was not paying it off. So.
What a jerk.
Well, I think he's an idiot. So there you go. He just...
Like, why? Why? Why in God's good name would you promise something like this?
Which also,
by the way, I want you to listen to this sound bite again. Listen to the very end of it.
Oh, I'm definitely having fun. I mean, definitely. I mean, no, I didn't think the tweet would go as viral as it did. I mean, I was just to know that the fan base is like this, and I just really can't imagine how it's going to be once the Browns start winning a lot of games. Yeah.
I don't think you'll be alive when that happens.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I can't wait until the Browns start winning games.
Yeah. Not smart. That's a very dumb thing to say. And the nice thing is a Twitter tweet is not a binding contract, so I think he's safe.
He should be.
Yeah. Or the contest rules on that.
All right, time for the favorite story of the week, and this one comes from the cutest sporting event of the year, the Scripps National Spelling Bee.
I would challenge you and say the Puppy Bowl is the cutest sporting event of the year. But
true.
Go ahead.
14-year-old Cathartic Nemani.
Okay.
Butchered it. Won the top prize Thursday night. He took home a grand total of $42,000, which is pretty sweet. The word that he spelled to win was koinonia. Go ahead and give it a shot.
We'll use it in a sentence?
Hold on. I actually have to look it up now.
I'm using every trick that I have in the book. I'll need country of origin,
see
too.
What they,
since you're looking it up.
Hold on, I'm going to see if I can get an example. I doubt Merriam-Webster can give me one.
Well, here's the question. Is typing it into Google, can you find it?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, you have the spelling, though, I guess, don't you?
Yeah. Let's see. God, they're not even giving me an example.
That's I fell out of a tree and landed right on my forninia. Yowza!
I'll give you the definition. The Christian fellowship or body of believers. Intimate spiritual communion and participative sharing in common religious commitment and spiritual community. Oh, here we go. The koinonia of the disciples with each other and with their Lord. So this should be easy.
Koinonia.
Koinonia.
Koinonia. C? O?
Yeah, you're already
Y?
Not doing too
N?
Well.
I have no idea. Koinonia?
Koinonia.
Go ahead.
Koinonia.
Yeah, okay. Well, I knew I was going to get it right away. I should have just said C or K.
Oh, well, congrats.
Yeah, good for you, kid.
42 grand.
Yeah.
That's pretty damn good for just some spelling.
I don't know. The competition's pretty fierce. You ever watch Bad Words with Jason Bateman?
Oh, God, that movie.
What? You didn't enjoy it?
It's based on a true story.
I don't know that it was.
Based on Jason Bateman's life.
Did you see it, though?
No, I didn't see it.
So the idea is he never graduated, or he never passed the third grade,
yeah.
But went on to be like an editor or something for some publication of some kind, or book editor or whatever.
Uh-huh.
But because he never passed the third grade, he technically qualified for the spelling bee, and he wanted to put it to his dad. And prove that he could be somebody, so he went back to do the spelling bee.
That is just taking Billy Madison, picking it up, and then just throwing it on another movie.
Watch it. It's enjoyable. He befriends a young Indian kid, teaches a bunch of bad words. They have a pretty good time.
Do they go out and get drunk or something?
They kind of do. They go. The little kid just wants to see a boob, so he goes and finds a hooker that'll show him a boob. And he's like, "Whoa!"
Isn't that what any third grader wants?
Whoa. Yeah, it's.
But I feel like in third grade, like, you know what boobs are, but you're not sure why you like them.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And it's just like, can I just see one to see what happens?
And that's what he does.
Yeah.
He goes, this big fat black hooker whips out a titty, and kid loves it.
Is that what happens?
That's exactly what happens. It's like delightful. It's a delightful film. I think you would enjoy it. I highly recommend Bad Words.
Oh, check for kids.
It's called Bad Words, and he has some pretty low-down, dirty tactics to get the other kids out of it.
Oh, I'm sure. Oh, boy.
There was a ketchup.
The hilarity ensues.
Listen, watch it, then you can critique it.
Wonder what hot tub Jason Bateman was paying off with that one. Boy, I'm behind in my hot tub payments.
I think he may have written and directed it as well.
Oh, God, so, that's whatever. Bad.
Hey, you do not like Jason Bateman?
That makes me think
he's
got off
the wagon. Why do you hate Jason Bateman so bad?
I don't know. He just kind of does. He's kind of the same dude in every movie. He's snarky, sarcastic guy.
And?
Yeah, I don't like it.
All right. Well, then don't watch it.
Like, what about him in Hancock? You remember that?
No.
He was some ad exec in Hancock, and he was just like the same guy he is in every movie, which is just like whenever he talks to somebody, he sounds like he's placating them.
Yeah.
Okay.
And? Good versus Evil brought to you by 808. They're the titan of Hawaiian restaurants, 2454 East Burnside, or 52nd and Woodstock. Baseball may be coming to Portland thanks to a couple big celebrities. Tell you about that next. Sinner and Saint, 1080 The Fan.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.